Hello, welcome to The Musics in Japan,
a conversational podcast about daily life for an American couple living long-term in Japan.
So lately I've been struggling with the concept of, I'm working remote right now, and I'm going to be working remote. I started working remote in March of 2020, and it looks like I'm going to be working remote probably through the end of September 2021.
If things go according to plan.
Yeah, because we live in Japan, and I can't stop working remote until I've been vaccinated.
Right.
And the Japanese government is saying that they're going to start vaccinations in March.
Yes.
They're hoping. And in their tier system, I'm slated for September.
Right.
And I was originally slated for July. And then that got moved back to August, and now it's being moved back to September. So I don't know, it may be I won't be vaccinated until December 2021. And that makes me question, I don't know, how safe is it really for me to be working in person with people?
I think a lot of people have come to the conclusion of how safe was it ever for them to be working? Like, I go to the convenience stores once every week or two, and they have the plastic barriers up so that you're not, spitting in people's faces when you talk to them. I'm like, why did we think it was okay before to be spitting in each other's face when we were talking?
Yeah, there are some people who spit. And I have a handful of clients. So the way my office is set up is it is set up so that they're 6 feet apart. But I have 3 clients that violate that.
Yeah.
And want to sit right next to me. And I've never figured out how to tell them that makes me uncomfortable. Because it's not safe. Because I know that I'm immunocompromised. And one of the clients is always sick. They're very sickly. And I'm not sure if they're always sick. But they always have some sort of
ailment,
irritation going on, or a cough, or something that makes me feel like they're sick.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm thinking in terms of is everybody, all you music nuts know that I care very much about climate footprint, and I said no more pet in my office, and my office went paperless years ago. I use recycled paper for my notes. I just see it being able to take it another step further in terms of being paperless and having a smaller eco footprint by going online. And I haven't lost any clients yet. I just don't know if I made that decision permanently and said, you know what, guys, I've made the decision to close my offices. It's not safe for me, and the COVID has really made me
aware of that.
Yeah, aware of how unsafe it is, and I don't know. It's a hard call. It's a hard call.
I could see how it'd be a hard call because we had SARS and MERS and H1N1 come through here and all of that, and I think COVID is different in terms of its reach, but not in terms of the havoc that it would wreak on your health.
I think that I have been putting myself at risk a lot more than I thought I was.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that you're not alone in realizing that.
Yeah.
And I think there's another side to that too, which is the businesses are realizing that they're putting their employees at risk. And also that they're spending a lot of money on offices they might not need.
Yes, because it currently takes 3 offices to run my in-person therapy practice.
Right.
I need one office for waiting room. Mm-hmm. I need one office to do therapy in, and then I need one office for business.
Yes.
And if I closed it, I could have everyone, because everyone's been working remote, and so have everyone work remote. So I have 3 offices that have been sitting closed that I've been paying rent on for a year.
Yes.
And I think that's what people aren't taking into consideration with a lot of businesses, is that the businesses that are staying open were having to hold these spaces, but it's a really tough choice because it's a bell you can't unring. Like, I love my office. If I'm going to do in-person therapy, I want to do it at those offices.
Right.
Those are my offices. So I haven't made any decisions yet. I'm just, I don't know what to do.
I think that puts you in the same, situation as a lot of companies. Like, I'm not in charge of the company that I work for. Like, I'm not the CEO, which I'm okay with. I like the CEO. He's a good guy. But I know the struggle because the company has been very open about talking about it, of keeping offices open that are essentially empty. It's somewhat easier for them because they have things that must happen in their offices. It's a retail company, so they've got shipments coming in that have to be packaged up and go out and that sort of thing. But there's also a lot of technical staff who have now been working at home since March. And the question is, do all those technical staff need to come back and work in person? And for me, I've been working remotely, I think, 12 of the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And so I filled out a survey the other day, a work survey, not from my work, but just a general survey about work. And I asked, do you work remotely? And then I said in parentheses, in normal times. Which, first of all, what are normal times?
Yes.
I understood what they meant.
But, yeah, normcore to the hardest.
Okay, but what are normal times? But the question was interesting because, yes, I'm a remote worker, even in normal times, let's call them, even before COVID forced a lot of offices to shut and things. But a lot of people who do the same job that I do aren't. And I was encountering that when I was talking with recruiters before Christopher convinced me to stop. So I will admit that I am addicted to being wanted by recruiters.
Yeah, you are.
I just, it just
stop it.
It tickles me pink when they're like,
okay, you need to stop it. You're just,
they write me in their bad English and they say, we've got a wonderful job opportunity for you because you are so smart.
I have the cap on their English. Some of them write you in perfect English.
Some of them write me in perfect English, but the ones who write me in perfect English are not as aggressive as the ones who write me in. It's not that they're not native speakers. It's the business English thing. Like, it's like describing a house as cozy when what you really mean is that it's tiny. They have this thing where they're describing a job as flexible when what they really mean is you can choose whether to show up at 9 or 9:15.
Yeah.
And so it's this kind of jargonese.
Not everybody gets your sense of humor.
Okay.
And so what Chad is being sarcastic right now when he says they're bad English, what he's saying is they're bad job offers that they're trying to make sound good because he's trying to figure out how not to sound like he's gloating while he gloats. And I think that that's something he's never quite measured.
Yeah.
Never quite mastered.
I will admit that I do gloat a bit because I got...
Bit?
Yeah.
Why don't you say I'm super glad? Because you're coming off elitist, and I don't think that you want to come off as ableist, elitist, and snobbish, because those are things that you're not.
No.
And so if someone was really writing to you in broken English, you wouldn't mention it. And so I think they don't understand your current job situation compared to what is the best possible job that you're currently qualified for. So I think that they don't understand the job market in Japan. And if they're in Japan, they might not even know this. So we don't talk our money.
Right.
But I will say this. To get a job in Japan making as much money as Chad has, you have to have won the Nobel Peace Prize. Or a Pulitzer Prize. You have had to win an international prize. And even then, it is a struggle to make as much money as Chad makes.
As a foreigner doing the job that I do, there are plenty of people.
Japanese nationals, unless you're working for a family company.
Well, there are doctors and lawyers and things who make more than I do, on average. Not all of them do, but on average.
There is a handful.
Japan
just doesn't pay what you make.
No, not for people who work for companies. And I think that's the issue, is that company employees, people who work for other people, just don't make very much. It's really hard to pass, let's say.
Like if you're famous or if you've won a grand prize or something like that. you know, there's artists and there's people who have started their own companies that make what you make. And we're not saying that we're like multimillionaires and you're making millions and millions of dollars a year. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that the pay in Japan is just globally really low, which is weird because globally the standard of living in Japan is really high.
Yeah.
And I think that's because living is so affordable. Housing is so affordable outside of the Tokyo bubble.
Right.
So like in Nagoya, and I know a lot of foreigners are going to clutch their pearls, but because they're paying way more than this because they're living in air quotes foreign friendly places. But you can get a 2-bedroom with a living room, not with a living room, you can get a 2DK. I think we've talked about this before. A 2-bedroom with a dining room and kitchen for $500 a month.
Yeah,
like $550 a month.
When we're looking for your offices, which was a few years ago now, so but inflation in Japan is extremely low.
Yeah,
there were studio places, new studio places on offer for $250 a month.
Yeah, so that's Nimangosen, and so my offices that I'm paying for, they had to do a cost of living increased. They do it every 5 years or so, and so now they're Goman Sanzen. So
53,000. Yeah.
Takes a while to switch. And
so just over $500. Yeah, just over $500 for a 2-bed.
Yes, yeah, like 540. 2-bedroom. Depends on the
exchange
rate on any given day. And so when we talk dollars, we're talking American dollars because we're Americans. So the cost of living is super reasonable. And then as long as you don't buy fresh fruit. If you buy fresh fruit, the cost of living is rather high.
Yeah, there are certain things that will cause you to have a high cost of living. But Japanese companies tend to pay extremely low. Like Japan regularly gets voted worst place to work in Asia as an expat.
Yeah.
And I think it used to be like 25 years ago. And there are still a few people here who talk about those glory days that you could come over and work in Tokyo as an expat and speak no Japanese and make $250,000 a year. And that's just not happening anymore. People who come over here are making roughly what Japanese people do, which starting salaries out of college are $20,000 a year.
You can actually, and we've talked about this before, you can put any job that you have in mind into Google and the Japanese salary, like you can do Japanese salary, average salary for, you know, chief technical officer.
Right.
And they'll give you what that general salary is.
Yeah.
I don't know it off the top of my head. So if you're waiting for me to tell you, come on, music notes, you all know we don't Google. Come on now. You know, I'm not going to Google that.
And it depends on whose salary you look at. And
yeah, I'm just going to drive Chad. It's going to drive him to distraction. But our heat, we didn't set the fan to not toggle. And so you might be hearing the thing toggle. But I am so...
It is not driving me crazy.
So cold today. I am so cold. I was like, please, sir, may I have some heat?
Yes. So before we started recording...
I have like 3 blankets on because we redid the setup. I love my husband so much. We redid the setup so that we're now recording in bed again. It's really hard for me to sit at the table and record.
With the heat,
why are you torturing me?
With the heat on, because the microphones we have now are directional, so unless you have the fan blowing directly into the mic, it does not show up.
I'm going to point my mic at the heat. Like, why are you doing that? You know how I am.
Your arms are not long enough to make it make noise on that. There would be a lot of noise when you moved your mic around, but there would not be fan noise.
I feel like pointing it at the heat and asking people if they can hear it.
I think maybe
it's a very intimate conversation.
I think maybe you should say that for the take two.
No, I'm doing it right now.
Okay, she's doing it.
Can y'all hear it?
There's gonna be a lot of noise as she moves it.
It's up there, guys. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? It's moving right now. Let's stop moving. Right now it's moving.
Okay, she's gonna stop now.
Can you hear it?
Okay.
I think y'all could. I think Chad's gonna buffer that out.
I am totally going to, yes. We use Audacity for our sound editing. There's
He's
a noise reduction.
My choice, I swear it. I swear. He chose this.
I did.
I was like this before we got married.
And I would choose it again right this minute. Will you marry me?
Yes, I'll marry you. Thank you so much. I needed a proposal right then. I was like, why did he choose this madness? Why did he choose this? And then we say madness. I do mean madness. I am mad. I am cracked. And those are my adjectives. My adjectives, people. I know they're saying don't use crazy, don't use lazy, and those kinds of things. And it is madness because I am compulsed and driven by my OCD, which is a madness for me.
Well, and your HCP, too, has mental components of obsession and that kind of stuff. We've talked a lot about that in other episodes, and I'm sure we'll talk
and
about that.
And get off me about my adjectives. My adjectives. They know I'm like, you can call yourself whatever you want, and I don't view it as a negative.
Yeah.
I view like having a different drummer in my head to be an interesting beat. Yes. Why would you want somebody with the same drummer? Why would we all want to march to the sound of the same drum? That's so weird to me.
Because we want to be fascists. That's why.
Fascist. Which makes me think of Pennyworth. Does anyone else feel like season 2 of Pennyworth is just, why are we doing this? I do.
I thought that when you were watching it, and I wasn't even watching it.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I tweeted about it, but I only did one tweet because I try not to at them, and I use the hashtag Pennyworth. I'm so, like, season 1, the ending of it was so sloppy and meat-fisted and just, ugh. They had something going really, really good at the beginning of it. And then they figured him being married didn't work out. It just, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Season 1 has some really great stuff. Like, the first 2 episodes, the best 2 episodes. And then just kind of goes south from there. Although, I love me some bets. So, sorry for that Pennyworth digression.
No, that's okay.
So I was just sitting there. I feel it was significant.
It was.
And it has to do with working remotely because he's trying to start his own business. And he doesn't have any offices. He works out of a club. So he's kind of working
Pennyworth
remote.
Does. I was like, I'm not trying to start my own business. We've talked about this. What are you talking about?
I love having a literal husband. That's so cool. It works on all levels. I have a literal husband.
Yes.
You're literally my husband.
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that.
That you're a literal husband.
I am aware of that. Okay. Yes.
And you're a literary husband.
Yes.
You're a husband in every sense of the word.
That's true.
Yeah. Even like, I guess for animal husbandry, because I do keep you.
Yeah, I think that one's a bit of a stretch, but I'll let you have it. I'm feeling generous.
I feed you and water you.
You do, yes.
And not all animal husbandry means that you eat the animals.
Yeah. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
John.
John who?
John the Baptist.
You did the movement.
Yeah.
That's my favorite knock, knock joke. And I did it to him for years. Anytime I was around water, I would just look at him. Knock, knock. He's like, I'm not going to do it. Knock, knock. I'm not going to do it. And then finally I do it, and then I would just flick, as long as I did, like, just the flicking.
Because I can't stand somebody just knocking and knocking at the door and not answering.
I know you can't, so I'm like, he's going to break.
And I'm like, here I know that the automated system that lets people ring our doorbell only goes so long. Like, they can't let it just keep going, because eventually it will stop it. It will just turn them off. And then they can just...
It used to bug you because I would be at my house.
Oh, it still bugs me. It still bugs me. I've just learned to...
I don't answer my door. I never have.
Yeah, I've just learned to deal with it. And especially working...
If my door is locked, it means you can't come over. I'm not accepting visitors.
And especially working with both of us here. So we talked about our work setup before, but the doorbell is in Christopher's half of the apartment. So if it goes off while she's in session, I don't know what she tells her clients. But I know that I am not allowed to answer the doorbell.
Nope.
Because that would violate somebody else's privacy. So I've just learned to live with it.
Yeah.
And then wait for the thing that says that they've dropped the package.
I say, I think we're getting a package delivery, but you're more important than whatever that is. And so...
Well, that's a very kind truth.
Either come back or get over it.
Yeah.
that we have a mailbox and they're rude for ringing my doorbell. You should just put it straight into my mailbox.
Right?
Like, why? You don't need me to sign for it. Because in Japan, if you're going to get mail that you have to sign for, they actually send you a postcard of notification that on this date and time, you're going to need to sign for mail.
Those are actually retroactive. They'll drop those in your box if you weren't there.
And they do it beforehand, because over at the office, whenever I've had to get mail.
Oh, yeah, I think at the office.
They send you a notification.
I think for you, because you don't have a secure mailbox at your office.
Here's Chad trying to pretend to know something he doesn't know. He's so aggressive.
I try to pretend to know everything, thank you.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. In Japan, if you have to sign, at least in the ward that we live in, he doesn't like me playing at the court. I'm playing at the court. It might be making a noise. I don't know. He just took it from me.
I did, because it was making a noise.
We bug each other. That's what we do. Like all great married couples. So, anywho, as I was saying, if you have to sign, I'm going to say it for like the fifth time.
Okay,
if you
please
have
say.
To sign. If you're getting registered mail, it's a notification so that you will be around to get your registered mail.
Yeah, you're out of a different post office at your office than we are here at the apartment.
He just still wants to be right, and he's not. He's not right about this, because here's the thing. Chad does not get the mail.
I don't.
He wants to get our mail, so I don't know why he's even, like, going down this road.
The same reason that I used to try and get the mail, because I want to be involved with all things postal. But I'm not very good at it.
Don't like that! Oh my gosh! Oh my god, I will not let you lie to our music notes like this. You do not, you just want to collect paper. You want to hoard paper. You do not want to be involved in the mail.
And this is one of the ways to do it.
Because, okay, so this is like a serious thing. Chad has a paper hoarding thing. Paper and pet. You like to hoard paper and pet. And so you once had a room that was full of paper and pet. And I said, babe, this is not healthy for you. Like emotionally, mentally, or anything. It's making you feel bad about yourself. It's not healthy. And you're like, but I really like all of my papers. And I was like, really, all of these papers mean something to you. And we had to do, like, if you see an episode of Hoarders, we had to do, like, 2-second rule. Do you love it? No. Do you love it? No. And then he was like, this is hurting me too much. I love, like, yes, that paper might have a coupon. Let me read it. Because in Japanese. And, like, you do not need to read every single paper. I says, why don't you leave? I'll fill it up. And then you can look through the bags whenever you want. Well, if you haven't looked through the bags in 2 weeks, we'll throw them out.
And I will admit, sometimes it's not even about the content of the paper. It's just about the paper itself. Because
yeah, so that's why, hello, that's what hoarding is.
Like, sometimes they're very smooth pieces of paper.
Yeah, you really love the smooth paper.
Yeah, especially if they're not gloss. Like, glossy magazines, I get it's going to be smooth because they've got the gloss on it.
Yeah.
But if it's a matte piece of paper that's completely smooth, I'm like, ooh, it feels so nice.
Yeah, receipt paper is your favorite.
Yeah, thermal paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, especially if I can hold it in my hand and make all the writing disappear. That is so fun.
Yeah. And even after you've done that, you still want it.
Yes.
Because you want to wait and see if months and months later it'll come back.
What if I put it in the freezer, will it come back?
You've never put it in the freezer to see that.
I did that with the thermal pens and it kind of worked. Because you like the thermal pens that you can erase them by rubbing on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of worked.
I use thermal pens.
I know you do.
I love the thermal pens.
So one thing that working remotely has done for me, to bring it back around.
We're not even pretending that we're not just doing some ramble about paper.
Is that...
It's tied in because I want to have a paperless office.
Yeah. Is that I don't get any paper from work. Like, every once in a while, there'd be something I have to print out and take down to immigration, but that stopped as soon as we got permanent residency. So there's not even that anymore.
Yeah.
And I have a Wacom tablet that I bought, I don't know, like 10 years ago. I bought it during my master's program. So it's like...
What did you buy?
A Wacom, that's the brand name, tablet, that black...
A what?
That black square thing that I use with the pen.
The signature thing?
Yeah.
The signature pad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a name brand?
It's a name brand. It's an artist thing.
Okay. So what is it?
It's Wacom, W-A-C-O-M. That's the brand name.
Uh-huh.
And it's called a tablet.
Or better known as the signature pad.
Yes. Because I have
in this family, it's the signature pad.
Yes, it is. But having that means that we don't have to print out anything to sign it.
Yeah, like when you walk up to me, I'm like, what do you want me to sign? Because I don't like to sign anything. So I would be like, so we were watching the show the other day about this con man who was conning people by getting them to sign stuff. And I thought I would just be so frustrating for them because I don't like to sign anything. Like, and I get angry too. Like, I'm like, you want me to sign what? Why am I signing this? What is this about? What do you want me to sign it for? I get super like angry and suspicious.
If I want you to sign something, I go down to the post office and I send you certified mail. Saying you're going to need to sign something so that you get the postcard and you're like, oh, dang, in 3 days I'm going to need to sign something.
It's almost that official.
Yes.
I give you dates every month. I say, if you need me to sign something, I will sign
and something. And I email you in advance and tell you,
Friday,
yes.
Friday the 20th.
Yes.
After I get off of work, within 15 minutes of me coming inside the house.
Yes.
After I've taken my shoes off.
And you tell me, and have it ready. I'm not going to wait while you get it set up.
Yes. If it's not set up, by the time I walk from the doorway to the table, if you're busting around trying to set it up, you're going to have to try again tomorrow or wait till next month. And this has been with, like, checks, things that will give me money. I won't sign them.
Yes.
And you're like, babe, we have a year. I'm trusting that in the year I will get you to sign this. I'm like, I hope you will.
Right?
I hope you will. I'm rooting for you. Reading for you, mean it. And working remote, I don't have to sign anything.
Yeah.
But being the owner of the company, there's months that I sign a lot of stuff. So, like, I do my paperwork for the company, which there's far less paperwork to do now that I'm remote, which
right.
I really enjoy. And I'm just not knowing if I want to take on, I don't know, like, I'm literally not paying anything but the rent because I've turned off the electricity.
Right. Ain't nothing going on but the rent.
And they're charging me water every other month,
mm-hmm.
which is scandalous on their part because...
But you do have Ross to go flush your toilets every week or so just so that they don't...
Yeah, because if you don't flush your toilets, it'll smell like sewage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you use a little bit of water. I'm not saying you're not being... Because your electricity is separately metered. But your water is not separately metered in the building.
Yes. I am not using 2/3 of the water in the building.
No, you are not.
So come on now.
That's why I'm saying it's not separately metered. Like our apartment here, all of our utilities are separately metered.
What's your company doing?
Which one? My main gig?
Yeah, your main gig. Because the Cinnabar Math is completely remote right now.
Right.
And we have an office. We have an office in Japan and we have an office in Tokyo, but those are virtual offices.
Yeah. So starting in late December.
For mail purposes, we have postal addresses.
Yes. In multiple countries.
Yeah,
two is
we're a multinational.
Yeah. Two is multiple. So the main office for the company I work for, they've got two and they're both in the Melbourne area in Australia, which is in Victoria State. In late December, they announced they were...
This is your main gig, not Cinnabar Mall.
Yeah, my main gig. They announced they were lifting the restrictions and offices were allowed to be up to 25% full.
What?
They had restricted offices to only being allowed to be 10% full. First, it was essential personnel only, like literally if you can possibly in any way whatsoever do your job from home, you must do your job from home.
Okay.
So I think we had three people who could not do their job from home because they involve physically handling shipments and things like that.
Yeah.
And then they went to, like, your office can be 10% full. So if your office has a capacity of 40 people, ordinarily you can have 4 people working there during the day. And then they went to 25% full, which is where the year ended at. And so there was a sign-up list, and people were signing up to go into the office on different days. Like, the rest of my teammates all signed up to go into the office on the same day. And then they're still required to physically distance. So they're still required to be 2 meters away from each other. So we had a meeting where everybody was all spread out and such. But for the most part, most of our people are still working remotely. And certain departments have always been remote. The customer service is entirely remote. And I think about half of the technical people are remote in different countries and things.
And so the way Japan has been doing remote is completely different.
Yes.
Than the way the rest of the world has been doing it. And that is, it's been like, if you work on a team of five, it has one person from the team of five stay home a day.
Yeah.
So that is a team of four, which reduces the people in the building by 25%.
Yeah. So it goes to 80%. Because yeah. 5 to 4 would make 80%. So that's what Australia had been doing, Victoria had been doing, was, but 3 out of 4 people had to go home.
But so Japan was doing it, was 80% full.
Right. And Australia was doing
75% full with only 25% working from home. And Japan looks like it's going to continue doing that. Mm-hmm. And so Japan doesn't really do remote, like
they don't. So this circles back to, I don't know if you remember last year or like 15 minutes ago, I was talking about recruiters, to the remote options that they have been presenting me with until I stopped talking to them because I'm happy in my job. I'm not looking for anything else.
Until I put my foot down and yes. I said, you need to stop this.
Yes. So some of them were saying you can work remotely for the next 3 weeks, and then you would need to come into the office.
Yeah.
Some of them were saying you could work remotely for the next 6 months. Some of them, it was, you could work remotely, but you need to come to the office a couple of times a month, which is what I had in my previous job.
Yeah.
And then there was one company that said, you are not allowed to work remotely, no matter how, and it was just this blunt. It was like a statement that the recruiter read me. You're not allowed to work remotely, no matter how bad COVID is, no matter how many people have died. Even if you are sick and have COVID, you must come to the office.
Yes.
I was like, that is not a company I want to work for. Who's like hearing that and going, sign me up?
Yeah, I don't see how they fill that position.
I don't either. So I just, the variety of choices.
Well, we have a friend who's recovering from cancer and is going into the office.
Yes.
And like, they literally are recovering from cancer.
Yes.
Like, they literally have just had their immune system
chemotherapy, ravaged. Radiation.
They can't drink tap water.
Yes.
Like, they have to drink bottled water. They can't drink anything that's not prepackaged. You can't, like, everything has to be hermetically sealed before they can eat it. But they're going back into the office. And I'm like, how does this make sense? You're putting this person's life at risk. I'm like, well, either that or they can be fired. And I'm like, okay, they have a family to support. I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there's that.
And we saw
I don't agree with it, but there's that.
No. And we saw people doing that in California when we were there, too. Because the community college that we went to, we're open about the fact we met at community college, we love it and all that.
Yeah, we just tweeted about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Probably tweeted about it yesterday. I tweeted about it on the regular. But yeah.
We love De Anza. We love being alumni of De Anza College. Awesome. If you live in Northern California and you have the opportunity to go to De Anza College, go to De Anza College. Fabulous staff, fabulous support, fabulous education, and go to the counseling center and they have De Anza has agreements with UCs, with the entire UC system. And so they really helped Chad with prepare his application that he would look favorable for UC Berkeley.
Yeah, so I did something called the IGETC, which is a standardized transfer to the UCs, which lets you in as a junior. You don't have to take any freshman and sophomore classes.
Yeah. So it's one of the best community colleges in the United States.
Yeah, the California system, because all the California community colleges have the IGETC and such. So that's good stuff. But they tenured their professors. So not all places do, but they didn't use adjuncts. They used professors who were on tenure tracks. And so to punish tenured professors, they would schedule them for a nighttime class and an early morning class.
Yeah. So there is some pettiness everywhere you go.
Right. Right. And I just think, like, why be so petty? But, you know, I get why.
How does this have to do? What's that to do with working remotely?
Well, working remotely, some of the places were saying you can work remotely, but you have to be available from 9:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., for example, to use a completely random example that only happens to match my previous job. And the company that I'm...
your previous job, you had to be available from any hour that your former boss was awake.
Yes.
Because no lie, on midnight on a Saturday, you got a phone call saying that they have broken out in shingles and they were stressed out about something. And you guys worked from midnight until 6 a.m. And then they're like, oh, we'll give you an easement so that this doesn't count as overtime because I don't want to pay you for this time on a Saturday. I don't want to pay for waking you up at midnight. I don't want to pay for having you work from midnight to 6 a.m. I don't want to pay you for that, but we'll give you time in lieu. And then you work 60 hours for 3 consecutive weeks. And so I had to put my foot down. I'm like, this is making you sick. They're like literally working you to death. This does not work. Because you're not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
You're not getting bonuses for it.
Yeah.
You're not getting time in lieu. To me, that's thievery.
I agree.
That's stealing.
I agree. And it's very common.
Yeah.
Wage theft is the largest by amount type of theft in the United States.
What is?
Wage theft.
What? Wage theft?
Yeah. Not paying people for their overtime or... illegally taking part of tips for tipped positions and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the company I'm working for now, working remotely, I was able to say, look, I don't do nights. I don't do weekends. I'm just...
My mic just fell over.
It did. I'm just a daytime person. I'm just a daytime guy. And I get breaks during the day. So the whole thing of it is nice. But I think that for people
I'm begging the mess out of chat right now, messing with my mic.
I think for people who are used to working in an office and the remote working is only temporary, they just think, well, I just have more time because I don't have my commute. Like, I have more time in the day, so I should work more in the day. And I think a lot of people are now discovering that you don't actually work more in the day working at home because you have other things going on. And, like,
I find that I have more mental clarity working from home than I did. And I find that I have more peace of mind working from home. And I'm amazed at how, I don't know, like my boundaries are so much better.
Yeah.
Working from home than they were working from an office. And my appointments run on time. Working from home.
Interesting.
And they don't run on time working from an office.
Yeah.
So working from an office, most, like, I'm really good with, you do not get to start your appointment early.
Right.
I don't answer the door. It's locked until it's time for that person's appointment, which is why I have a waiting room. But the after appointment is really hard. And some people, the worst case was a person who was taking 20 minutes and I had to tell them, I'm sorry, but this is an hour and 20 minutes. This is not okay. We need to rein it in. And then I had a client that was showing up 2 hours before their appointment, and that violates client confidentiality, and I would have to talk to them.
Yeah. And if somebody shows up 2 hours early for their remote appointment, like,
they're just at home.
They're just at home for two hours with their device. Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to do about, this is the first time I'm talking about it publicly, but I've been thinking about it for about a month.
Yeah, you and I have been discussing it.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm so torn.
And I think you're not alone in that. I think a lot of companies, and especially a lot of solo practitioners, a lot of professionals are facing the same thing of, do I really need a public office? Because I know in Japan, the virtual office is super popular. Where you just pay a small monthly fee and have access to an office exactly when you want it, but don't pay for having that office 24 hours a day. You pay an additional hourly fee when you're using it.
And so for me, it would mean definitely not working with kids anymore.
Yeah.
Because you can't do kids remote. Because I work with children as young as 18 months.
Yes.
And so it would mean definitely not doing kids.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, so you got your start there.
How but... I feel about a lot of things. Because it would mean like changing my website. It would mean a lot of changes. And I don't know how I feel about that. So I'm still thinking, and yeah. And basically, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah. And I'm still at the, I'm going to keep working remote because the commute to Melbourne is just too much.
But what are they going to do with everybody else? I thought they were thinking about doing remote. I think your company has a lot of good programs in place. Like, y'all are doing a book club.
Yeah.
Right now. What's the book that you guys are doing?
We've done several. The one we're doing right now is on how to solve it. So I'm running that one because it's a math book and I love it. And so it's just...
So go on, babe. Do a math ramble. I support it.
So How to Solve It by George Polya is a book from the 1950s talking about general problem-solving methods for mathematics specifically. But the method also applies to other types of problems. So the book clubs... I've got two groups, and one of them is very mathematically savvy and is actually interested in the math part of it. And one of them is less mathematically confident and are interested in the general problem solving aspects of it. So we're going through the book in different ways, looking at how we can use these techniques to solve problems, to define them and figure out what they are and how to evaluate whether a solution is good and such. I think as far as what people are going to do, I know that my team has discussed having everybody take one day at home every week for certain, which it was kind of a custom to do that before. But now they're saying, let's put it in place that we just plan that everybody works from home on, I think we're talking about Thursdays, but that there are certain days of the week that everybody works from home. And that's just the plan because they've discovered that it's not so horrible to meet remotely. Being on lockdown has been hard for them, not being able to get coffee. When they took lockdown off to where you could like go get takeout coffee, there was a lot of celebration, a lot of coffee emojis in the Slack channels.
And then too, there were a lot of joggers.
Yes, joggers. I'm
surprised how many joggers there were.
Joggers, bicyclers, and surfers.
Joggers, surfers, and what?
And bicyclists.
Yeah.
Of the company. So one of the offices is right on the beach. I haven't been to either one, but a lot of surfers at that office.
How did you enjoy the remote whatchamajiga?
Yeah, so there's an annual conference that's usually in person. We had planned to go, then we canceled our plans and we're bummed. And then the whole conference got canceled in person because it wouldn't have been legal. So that went online. And that was fun. It was interesting to do it online. Talk about that. Probably a whole episode worth, but I think not today.
No, you don't talk a whole episode worth of anything. And every time you promise them that you're going to do a whole episode worth of something, you never do it. So why do you keep breaking your promises? Maybe that should be a whole episode. Chad and the promises he does not keep.
Maybe it should be.
Maybe we should have, like, go through the transcripts and just, like, control F. We'll talk about. I don't know what we do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the control F would be to find all the different things Sad has promised to talk about that he has not.
Control F lies. Control F damn lies.
You know something that I do want to say that's kind of chapping my hide? Al Franken.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's too soon. He did not suffer enough. He has not come back apologetic. He's come back full strength. Who he was before, no chagrin, no apology, and you don't get to be a mass groper and then just come back as if you never groped anybody. Like, that's not cool.
That's not cool. So I think maybe I should read up on this because I didn't know about him doing the comeback. And we could talk next time about celebrities who are trying to come back too quick.
Yeah, and he's one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, just... Yeah. yell and no.
So if we remember, and if we're still interested, that will be our next topic.
No, it won't be. I don't know enough celebrities to say that about. And I've said That's all I have to say to about look it. Up.
Okay.
So don't try to jam me up into your little whole little circle of ring of promising to talk about things and then not talking about them.
You're saying it's too soon to set a topic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I have no idea who I will be next week.
This is a good point.
Yeah, like, don't make me over. Don't jam me up.
Okay.
So, on those happy notes and those happy thoughts, we have a whole bunch of exciting stuff going on with Cinnabar Moth. And if you're interested in that kind of thing, then you can follow us on over to the Patreon. We're actually going to be talking about book two, because we're working on book two. And so that's super exciting. So we're not going to be talking about Not My Ruckus. We're going to be talking about Gracie and Zeus Live the Dream, which is the second book that we're working on with Cinnabar Moth. And yeah, so if you want to hear about that, follow us on over to Patreon. Thank you for listening every week. We do check it out on Castos, so we see that our numbers are strong. Oh my gosh, and I meant to say thank you. I meant to say it last week, and I keep spacing it. Thank y'all so, so much. We have made it into the top 30 for Player FM podcasts about Japan. And for 2020. So I'm super excited about that. Y'all are so awesome. We love our music notes. And it's because y'all come in and listen every single week. And you know, I'm super excited by how I'm saying y'all. We just love y'all so much. And thank you. And I was super excited. I was totally Googling it. But I wasn't expecting it. I was just like Googling. I Googled the podcast to see where it's at with stuff. And I wasn't expecting that. It was a huge surprise. So thank you so, so much. We love y'all so much. And really, we appreciate every single listen. Thank you for giving us your precious time and energy. And yeah, thanks. We appreciate it. So we hope y'all come back next week and follow us on over to the Patreon and hear what we've got going on with Gracie and Zeus Live the Dream.
Yep. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can keep the conversation going on our website at themusicsinjapan.com. That's the music spelled MUSICKS. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at The Musics on both.
And if you'd like to support us, please visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, join a Patreon tier, or send us a one-time donation through PayPal or Ko-fi. We hope you'll listen again next week.
Bye.